Picture Bride, Chapter 22. When Mary became a freshman at the university, she discovered boys in the world of science. "I think I'm going to become a doctor, Papa," she announced at the end of her first year. Her best grades were in zoology and biology, and the thought of a career in medicine appealed to her. Dr. Kaneda, too, had encouraged her. Tara was pleased. "That's good, Mary. It is an honorable profession, and there aren't many women willing even to try." He leaned back in his chair, watching his daughter as she tossed the contents of a large box into the fireplace. They were her year's notes, and he was surprised that she didn't want to save them as evidence of her accomplishment as he would have done. Somewhere in the closet, he still had his notes from classes he'd attended when he first came to America. But perhaps it was better to be unencumbered like Mary, he thought, for he had never looked at his notes again, and now they simply cluttered up his closet. He gazed lovingly at Mary. She seemed to be at the peak of her beauty, her long black hair hanging softly against her throat. She was even more fair-skinned than Hannah, a true mark of beauty in a Japanese woman. Tara felt a surge of pride. In fact, both he and Hannah were enormously proud of her. She'd graduated high school with an almost straight-A record, and her teachers had nothing but praise for her work. He felt she would fulfill every dream they had for her and would surely be completely accepted in the white American world. That was how it should be, Tara thought. That was what he and Hannah had worked and sacrificed for all of these years. "Becoming a doctor will mean long years of study, Mary," he said to her now. "Have you thought about that?" Still too young to contemplate the brief span each life is given, Mary was completely unconcerned about the additional years of schooling. "I don't mind," she said absently. "Our people need more doctors who understand them. I'm glad you're considering such a calling," Tara continued. "It will require dedication and a sense of mission." "Oh, Papa, I don't have a sense of mission, for heaven's sake," Mary objected. "I just like medicine, that's all." "Well, that will come in time," he said to himself, rather than to Mary. She had now found some old high school notes and was tossing masses of paper into the fireplace, sending a flurry of sparks up into the chimney. "Do be careful, Mary," Hannah warned as she entered the room. "You'll set us on fire." "Everything's under control, Mama," Mary answered briefly, and having emptied the last scraps from her box, she got up, drew the fire screen, and went to her room. Tara tried to draw Hannah into what remained of the pleasant conversation he'd had with Mary. He saw with increasing frequency the brief moments of friction between Hannah and Mary, and he tried in his own way to placate them. "Mary wants to become a doctor," he said. "Isn't that a fine thing?" Hannah sat opposite him in a rocker and pulled out a sock from her darning basket. She threaded a needle, making a knot at the end of the thread before she spoke. "Yes, it sounds fine, if she can do it." Hannah knew that Mary sustained her projects only while her enthusiasm sailed high. After a month or two, her interest would lag and the project would be forgotten, like the sweater, half completed, that now lay crumpled in a paper bag in her closet, or the dresses half sewn, the watercolors begun and discarded. Even the dog she'd wheedled from her father was cared for by Hannah because Mary was too busy. Hannah didn't view Mary's present ambitions with Taro's idealistic hopes, for the Mary she knew was not the same person revealed to Taro. His facility with English enabled them to discuss many things. With Hannah, however, Mary was often silent because it was too much trouble to explain something in Japanese. Hannah wondered if it was because Mary did not reach out to her with words that she could see a side of Mary that Taro never saw. He was blinded not only by his love for her, but also by the clutter of words she showered on him. It was strange, Hannah thought, how human beings revealed themselves to each other in such different ways. Tara was eager to nourish Mary's dream. "I think she can do it, Mama. At any rate, we must have faith in her." "Yes, of course," Hannah answered, for she did want to have faith in Mary. She would be so proud if her daughter truly became a doctor, with a career of her own, helping the sick, spending her days doing something more than washing and cleaning. Hannah loved her daughter and wanted to reach out to her, but somehow she had the terrible feeling that one day Mary would fail them both. Mary was popular with the Japanese-American boys on campus and went out often. She went to all the dances of the Japanese Students Club and to parties at the homes of her friends. Young Nisei boys, their hair slicked, suits pressed, and shoes shined, appeared stiff and proper, carrying sweet-scented gardenia corsages and florist boxes. They came inside and knew enough Japanese to converse briefly with Hannah and Taro, speaking of the weather, of their studies, and of their parents. When Mary thought they had been properly polite, she would say, "Shall we go now?" And the boys would leap to their feet, giving Mary a look of gratitude and relief, and hurry from their home. One day, toward the end of her sophomore year, Mary came home, her cheeks flushed, her entire being vibrating with happiness. "Mama, I'm going out for dinner tonight." "That's nice, Ma-chan. Who are you going with?" Mother, please stop calling me that. I'm going with a friend. He's been here before? No. But he is a friend from school. He's an assistant in my biology lab. A what, Monchon? An assistant. He helps the professor. Ah, he is the teacher? You were going out with the teacher? Something like that. A young man who is a teacher at the university must be a fine person, Hannah observed. I hope he is a good boy. Oh, Mother. When the young man arrived to call for Mary, she was still in her room, fussing with her face. Mama, I'm not ready, she shouted. Will you let him in? Of course, I wasn't going to leave him standing on the porch. Hannah approached the front door with a receptive smile. When she opened it, however, she was startled not to find a Japanese-American face smiling at her, as she'd expected, but a brown-haired, blue-eyed young man in a neat, navy-blue, double-breasted suit. He was about 2 heads taller than Mary and seemed sturdy and strong, as though he could lift a 100-pound sack of rice with no trouble at all. Yes, she inquired, thinking he must have come to sell her something. Are you from the Watkins Company? Just last week, a man had tried to sell her some products, and Hannah had to tell him that she could find most things she needed at her husband's shop, but the man had not understood. Hannah thought he had now sent this young man instead, but she did not send him away immediately. She understood there were people who made their living by selling things door to door, and she was never impolite to them. The young man fingered his tie and shifted his feet uncomfortably. No, I'm Joseph Cantelli, he answered. Is Mary at home? Hannah could not conceal her confusion. Yes. Oh, was this Mary's young teacher? It was not possible. Mary had never gone out with the boy who was not Japanese-American. You come from Mary Takeda? She asked, her English disintegrating in embarrassment. Joseph Cantelli nodded. We're going out to dinner together, Mrs. Takeda. He was polished and self-assured, while Hannah was rendered completely inept. She finally recovered and asked him inside. She pointed to the sofa. Dozo, please sit. She could think of nothing to say to this fine-looking young man who sat across from her and finally asked, Your parents, they live here? No, they live in Los Angeles. Ah. Unable to bear another moment, Hannah rose and went to call Mary. It had been an altogether miserable performance on her part, and she disliked Joseph Cantelli because, through no fault of his own, he had made her feel like a complete idiot. But why didn't you tell me he was a Hakujin, this friend of yours? Hannah asked Mary the next morning. Why didn't you tell me he was a white person? I didn't think it was necessary, Mama, she snapped with an impatient look. After all, what difference does it make if I go out with somebody who isn't a Nisei? It just doesn't seem... Hannah groped for the right word. It just doesn't seem comfortable, she said at last. There was no other way to describe it. How could she put into words the thoughts that had crossed her mind after Mary and Joe had gone out? She wanted a son-in-law with whom she could speak Japanese, with whom she might share some rice and pickled radish. Most of all, she wanted a grandchild with black hair and a Japanese face, to whom she could teach some Japanese words. How could a white person possibly understand the subtleties of the Japanese way of life? As Hannah spread out her thoughts and unraveled her fears one by one, however, she realized that Mary was much more American than Japanese. Having spent so much time alone, she was more independent than some Japanese-American girls Hannah knew. And these days, she was drawing away from her Nisei friends at the university. She had long ago stopped coming to their Japanese church. I do wish Mary would come to our church, Hannah confided to Kenji Nishima, especially now that you have become our minister. But Kenji Nishima understood Mary's independence. She needs to find her own way, Mrs. Takeda, he explained gently. You must let her seek out her own life. You must trust God to help Mary and to help you too. Taro agreed and did not seem to share Hannah's feeling that Mary needed more watchful guidance. She's young and foolish, Hannah pointed out. We've had 18 years to guide her, Mama. We can't intrude too much now. You're not going to speak to her then about seeing so much of Joe Cantelli? If he's a good young man and Mary likes him, what's the harm? Sometimes Taro confounded Hannah. He was the conservative traditionalist who expected her to be a submissive Japanese wife, and yet he wasn't concerned that his only daughter, the one being he cherished above all others, might possibly break every tradition he held dear. Suppose she wants to marry him. Mama, you worry too much. Mary is too young to think about marriage, and by the time she's ready for it, she will have forgotten all about Joe Cantelli. Hannah wasn't so sure. She wasn't sure at all.